completely hard freezes the system.
Nice.
I'm hijacked.
Ding, 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 ding. We got a winner.
It only does this when it starts up.
Never turn the computer off then.
You can trust no one, especially people that you think you can trust, except for us. Right. You can trust us.
We want others to learn from your pain.
Let me tell you what my dilemma is.
Let's do that.
Does your computer bite? Has your hard drive gone floppy? It's time to call the Computer Corner on News Radio 620 KTAR. Dial 602-277-5827. That's 277-KTAR. Now in the Computer Corner, here are the Data Doctors, Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome to yet another edition of the Computer Corner. It is the Data Doctors in the house.
We keep banging them out week after week after week after week. Quality edutainment. And maybe a little bit of a...
We like to call it quality you can afford, since this is free advice for you for the next hour and 40 minutes.
You can't afford that,
we hope.
You
can afford the quality of the show, absolutely. We are not your classic radio hosts. We are not your classic call-in, let's discuss really strong... We tried that last week, actually. We tried to do a really issue-driven show, and it's like, that's just not us. We're like nuts and bolts guys. You got problems, we got answers. I know somebody else used that one, but we've been at this for a long, 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 long time. It's our 18th year in the computer service business. We have seen it, done it, tasted it, experienced it, smelt it.
And if we haven't done one of those things, we're researching it right now for tasting, smelling, or feeling down the road, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And the bottom line is whatever it is when it comes to technology, we'll help you with cell phones and PDAs and printers and scanners and anything with technology. Because, you know, frankly, if we don't have an answer, we'll make one up. And if you're asking us, then and as long as we sound credible, I think you'll accept the answer and then we'll all win.
Between us, Google, and making something up, you're guaranteed to get an answer that is an answer.
That is an answer, yes, yes. If you want to test us out, there's a number of ways to do it. You can join us online, of course, at datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section. You'll see all of today's discussion points, including our Geek Speak of the Week and our resources and all the fun stuff.
Or grab your cell phone or your regular landline phone. Actually, the landline phone we prefer. It sounds better on the radio. But whatever you got, grab it and dial 602-277-5827. It's 277-KTAR.
And you're going to want to call early because we have a theme this week that is going to, it's guaranteed to light the phone up with the zealots and fanatics from around the country that are listening to the show, because we're talking about Mac versus PC.
Mac versus PC.
Look at those lines go!
One, two, three. Mac versus PC. Did we say we're going to talk about Macs? And we're not definitely not the ultimate authorities when it comes to Macs, so this is definitely that portion where we would be making up our answers.
Well, we're not asking you to call in about your problem, some specific problem you're having on a Mac. We're just saying if you want to discuss, you're in the Mac camp, you're in the PC camp, you're in both camps, it doesn't matter. Call in. The point of the show is that people listening are going to hear the few people that actually call in. Hey.
He found it.
He found it.
He told me he found it, and he said, should I wait? And I said, no, interrupt, Ken. Go ahead.
Bring it on, baby. It's the return of the Mac. And actually, that's what spurred this decision, the iPod and the halo effect the iPods had. It's getting a lot of people talking about the return of the Mac. Mark Morrison, remember the old...
I remember this guy now. He had one song that was a hit, and
yes.
We're listening to it.
Yeah, but his version of the Mac had a K in it, but...
And I'm also thinking that the Mac he was referring to was definitely not a computer.
No, no.
But instead, a Mac Daddy.
More process-oriented, yeah.
And for the definition of what a Mac Daddy is, you'd want to tune over to...
some other station.
Some other station
or
for that.
Or actually go online. But anyway, if you are somebody that has actually brought or actually gone through those processes, especially if you've switched one way or the other, or you use both, your experience, your feedback, your... input, I think, would be very valuable. The point here is, and if you read my column on Mondays in the Tribune, we also have a link to it online here, anybody that tries to tell you that there's a one-size-fits-all, no matter who you are, is full of stuff.
Big stuff.
This is not a simple, this is an easy answer, because there's so many things that you have to take into consideration. So we're going to talk about those things.
By the way, all the lines now booked up, so when you hear somebody hang up as we start to take calls on the next segment here, that's when you'll want to dial in 602-277-5827, program that into your speed dial, commit it to memory, and get ready to dial it on down the road.
So when we come back, we're going to give you our 2 cents on the Mac versus PC discussion and really, truly, what you need to be thinking about yourself. Forget about what everybody else, all the zealots and all the fanatics say. You need to figure this out for yourself.
It's the Computer Corner News Radio 620 KTAR, back after the news.
At the other Chrysler Jeep Dodge dealers in Phoenix, it's a $28,000 Grand Cherokee and a $28,000 Ram truck. But at the Power...
Ben Colburn and Brandon Disney...
And welcome back to our discussion about the Mac versus PC, which will bound to get the phone calls going, which it always does.
There's a decent chance of that.
I had a nice time with Spanky Moskowitz, the fine sound editor for this station, who's a Mac militant fanatic, but he's still a cool guy.
There's an okay chance that he may be listening at any given time,
no.
and he's the militant type enough so
the Spankmeister,
that he might call in.
He doesn't listen to this show.
You
anyway,
know.
So we had a discussion on Pat McMahon's show the other day, and I thought, you know, that'd be a good thing to have as kind of a theme. It's always fun to have that discussion. It's nowhere near as clear as it used to be, where if you're a graphic artist, you always use Apple, and if you're a business person, you always use PCs. Those lines have blurred. The processing power, the difference in the cost per megabyte in drive space, the amount of processing power you get for the dollar. A lot of those clear, it used to be that PCs were a lot cheaper. That's not the case anymore.
You can buy the Mac Minis now for as little as like $599, I think, as that's the retail price, and you could probably do better than that if you go really searching.
Heck, it's even gotten to the point where if you wanted to run the Mac OS and the Windows XP on the same machine, if you want to spend that kind of money and create that complicated world for yourself, you can.
You can do it actually in both ways, but now that Apple has gone out and embraced the technology that PCs run on, which is the Intel-based processor, those machines are now capable of running either, and they have, actually, Apple's been really good about not necessarily supporting it from a, you can call us for tech support, but supporting it by putting information out there and helping people who want to dual boot their system or create an alternative environment, they're okay with that.
And for most of you out there, it's a ridiculous notion that you need both operating systems on the same machine. Developers, programmers, web developers, people in the industry, it's wonderful.
There's a huge cool factor to it, because something that is more of a preference, but most people would argue and agree that the Apple machines, the actual hardware produced by Apple, not only their computers, but just about everything they do, much better looking aesthetically.
That is one thing that there's no comparison, no question on. I mean, the cool factor, and, you know, let's face it, we are very brand conscious in this country. We're very image conscious. And if you spend enough money telling people how cool you are, you're going to have a good percentage of the people believe you.
And the word, for example, iPod, has come to mean...
Kleenex.
MP3 player. It's just like Kleenex means tissue, but people use it interchangeably, and somebody says, they never say, do you have an MP3 player? They said, do you have an iPod? And you can answer yes, whether or not it's actually made by Apple.
Yeah, I have a creative iPod.
Yeah, but that's pretty acceptable in today's world. So that tells you, in just a very, very short amount of time, what, a year and a half, 2 years, they've taken...
It's been a little longer now.
Well, they've created a brand
Huge.
That now is interchangeable with the word... that it represents.
Well, and the success and the cool factor of the iPod is what's causing a lot of people to consider the Mac OS and the Mac computers when they, in the past, may not have even given it a second thought. So it's a really relevant question out there. Another relevant question, like Anthony has, is in the area that you see these advertisements on television, right, Anthony?
Yeah, I'm a PC guy, and they're telling me that they don't get viruses.
Well,
how is that possible? Doesn't that mean they're the ones giving us the virus?
No, they're not quite explaining it. The likelihood of contracting a really bad virus is definitely significantly higher on a PC for one reason and one reason only. There are more PCs, and there are more people writing malicious code for PCs. The mistake that Apple's making is the mistake that a lot of companies have made, saying, do you remember when Firefox first came out, the alternative web browser?
Uh-huh.
What was their claim to fame?
I don't remember.
Well, we don't have the problems that Internet Explorer is. Hackers don't come after us. There aren't any viruses written for us. We're safe.
It was true.
Last week, they had to launch 9 new patches to cover all of the vulnerabilities that have been discovered by hackers.
All right.
So
the biggest reason they had to do that is because back when they announced what they announced, they did two things. One, it was a brand new browser. There wasn't a whole lot of user base on it, so nobody was really actively trying to target it. But right. more importantly, they hadn't thrown out the gauntlet for all the geeks out there to try to come after them.
They so, just put a target on themselves.
Yeah, Apple's spending a lot of money saying, come on, hackers, prove us wrong. And if they're not careful, they're going to be careful what you wish for. So it is definitely less likely you're going to get a dramatic virus today. Tomorrow, maybe a different story. So if that's the only reason you're switching, you might want to rethink that.
Lots more about this and your calls and questions. 602-277-5827 as the Computer Corner rolls on right after this short break.
I never knew a love like this before. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It is the Mac versus PC discussion that is a lot more prevalent now because of the popularity of the iPod and the cool factor and the lower priced Mac-based product out there. Bottom line, folks, there's a couple of key pieces that you need to consider. If you're at that point where you're not really sure which direction to go, I mean, a lot of people already are in one camp or another. So a lot of people are going, well, there's no reason for me to switch. I've got Windows everywhere in my life. And for me to start onto a new operating system makes no sense because I can't convert all of my business and all that other stuff over. So it's not even a relevant discussion for me. That's fine. Can you exist with both a Mac and a PC? Absolutely. Lots of people do it. So if you have a casual travel need that doesn't have to really interface with your office and those kinds of things, then considering a Mac for entertainment purposes, for traveling, for that kind of thing, if in fact it's not a corporate type interface, may make perfect sense. Because they are, from an entertainment standpoint, you want to play music, you want to look at pictures, you want to, hey, that's great. But you also have issues of software. That's not, you're going to have to buy two different versions of software to be able to run on your PC and your Mac. So, you know, whether you can convert over completely or not, you know, what's your support system look like? Do you have to interface with other Windows users or other Mac users? You know, what's your world look like?
Do you use any specialty applications? Because there are alternatives in the Mac world for most all the normal stuff, meaning word processing, email, surfing the internet, all those kinds of things, of course, exist. But is there something special you do? Do you use AutoCAD? If so, is there an application that exists for that? Do you do landscape design? Do you do, you know, there's a number of things. If you have a business-specific application that you run, certainly there's not a good chance of it working in a Mac environment. So you got to look into all those kinds of things before you can just make the decision that, well, there's no viruses and they're easy, so I'm going to go that way.
And again, the column that's going to come out in the Tribune on Monday, the business section, it's a very even kind of, I'm not taking any sides, I'm just trying to explain all the processes that you should go through before you make a decision, especially if you're really not sure which way to go. Like I said, most of you are. Somebody that saw an advanced version of my column, Richard, wrote that that was a very good response. I would probably be considered a PC zealot coming from corporate IT, but you gave me a very unbiased response. I'm in charge of our 75-plus Macs and also do a lot of work with 600-plus PCs and many, many Windows servers. It's nice to hear to see an article like this because you hit it right on the head. It does indeed depend on what the person is going to be doing with it, his or her budget, the support network, and many other things. It's not a one issue decision. And
everybody should have X. Well, that'd be like everybody should have whatever brand of car. Obviously, some of us need to be able to go camping, tow boats. Some of us need economy. Some of us drive cross country. Some of us drive very short distances. That's why there are varieties. Plus, more importantly, features seem to be what people are really interested in, whether they use them or not. How many people do you know that drive a big SUV with four-wheel drive, have never taken it off-road, never put it into four-wheel drive? That's not why they bought it. They bought it because it looks cool and that's what
yes!
they want. So you got to take all those kinds of things into account when you make that kind of decision.
We got time to help Nick. Nick's actually got the question, right? Nick, you're in the middle of looking for a new computer?
Just starting. Kind of computer and software-related question.
Is this your first computer, or have you had other computers?
No, I've had other ones, okay. But they're usually hand-me-down tanks.
Ah.
And they're good for World War One and Two, but not now.
just after electricity, huh?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay, so I take it since you're considering either operating system, you don't have it pre-existing situations like we were talking about. You don't have to worry about interfacing with the office or other people.
No.
Okay, so that would be one of the first things. The second would be your budget.
Well, I'll grit and bear it if it'll get the job done.
Well, they'll all get the job done, so traditionally you'll get a little more for your money in the PC world just because there's so many more competitors.
Well, here's what I want to, the main things that I'll be doing with it. One would be voice recognition software to sell, to speed up the writing process.
Right. And
we got a whole other discussion for that.
Nick, you know what? If you wouldn't mind, I'd like you to hang on because we want to have this discussion, but this music means we got to go to break. But that you just brought up two things that are, I think, really important for people to hear. So stay tuned for that. It's Nick and voice recognition and a Mac versus a PC.
We're going to pay some bills when we come back. It's all Nick.
KTAR Expanded Traffic and Weather. Together, I'm Al Summers in the KTAR Traffic Center. We have that object on the roadway, eastbound 202, the Red Mountain.
1-800-695-9092.
Naughty, naughty computer. Bad, naughty, nasty computer. Shame, 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 naughty computer. Naughty, nice computer. Nice, soft, naughty computer. Oh, computer.
Before we went to break, we were talking to Nick about Mac versus PC, and then you said something that really kind of is going to completely change our conversation.
You're going to get Ken up on a soapbox, and he's going to tangent on you. You said voice recognition, didn't you, Nick?
We need to.
Let me put two main things in: voice recognition for the writing, and also something that'll handle 3D and imaging for product development.
Okay, well. Those are very high-level processing capabilities that you're now talking about spending some money regardless of which direction you go.
Right.
But in order to figure out the Mac versus PC thing, which we'll get to first, and then we'll get on to Ken's soapbox, you're going to need to figure out, okay, the 3D imaging thing is the one that would concern me the most.
Yeah.
What actual piece of software are you going to use for that? That's going to determine everything for you because you're going to decide, well, I have to use X, or X is the best product. And that's going to make the determination likely for you.
And I want to know what fantasy world you're in that you think that voice recognition is faster than typing.
Because I can't type.
Even if you are a hunter and pecker, a hunt and peck guy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say that on the radio?
Probably not. Even if you have one finger that you type with, I'd be willing to bet that it will be faster than voice recognition.
6 months from now, if you spend your time learning how to type, you'll be much better than you will with voice recognition. Let me give you some examples. You'll see these guys talk about 90% accuracy on voice recognition. Sounds pretty good, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know what that means?
Every
10th word is wrong.
10% irritation?
Yeah.
Well, every 10th word is wrong, which means you have to manually go back and edit that word because that's what it's going to take, and that takes time to get to that position, delete all that,
but we're
type
at
95% right
accuracy now.
Okay, well then.
Every 20th word is wrong.
Oh.
Okay? It's not faster, because what ends up happening is you have to train yourself how to use these systems. There's this little company called IBM. They started on this voice recognition path 25-some-odd years ago.
IBM,
I think it is.
Yeah. Never heard of them.
They have spent multi-billions of dollars because this was the golden chalice or whatever. It's like, this is, you know, if we can do this, we'll be rich beyond, you know, whatever. They still haven't gotten it down. It's getting better, yes, but the bottom line is you have to be totally committed to the voice recognition program and training yourself, and what we find is most people don't have that kind of patience. And frankly, you're better off learning how to type than you will spending all the time and money on voice recognition. So I just back burner that thing.
Okay.
You know where I've seen it actually make some sense? You remember back in the old days, if there was a guy who really, he earned a lot of money per hour, like a real high-end doctor, a real high-end attorney, something like that, and they would want to type a paper, or rather than type it, because their time was too valuable, because they could bill a lot, they would dictate it, and then hand that over to somebody that was just a clerical typist, and they would type it up for him, right?
Yeah.
Well, this is where voice recognition might come in real handy, is instead of doing that, why not get the 90% down in the product and then hand that over to the secretary to edit up and fix, because it's just as fast, but...
There's other things. If you're going to get into 3D rendering and development, if you're going to be a developer of any kind, sorry, Bubba, you better learn how to type.
Well, I have to do both. I consider getting a secretary, a good-looking babe secretary, but that has its pitfalls, too.
Yeah, that's a different show,
If
man.
You're married, it has huge pitfalls.
I'm not, but whatever.
Yeah, but see, you understand what the approach is. You really got to dial in the actual application that you're going to use.
Right,
specific,
train it, and it trains you.
Well, no. But I'm talking about figuring out Mac or PC. Generally speaking, at this level, you're going to get a lot more processing power for the money in the Windows world, because more of this kind of thing goes on in the Windows world. But that doesn't mean that there's not a good, viable package, software package that's going to do what you need in the Mac world as well. So You want to start with the software. Figure out what program that you're going to use for this rendering and development. You know, it's kind of a generic term, but figure out exactly what that is, and that will tell you which platform you should be considering.
And even our advice is not one size fits all in this world, because if Nick had called and said, well, I'm interested in surfing the internet, checking my email, and doing Instant Messenger, and taking some music and editing it, and editing some video, and I mean, all these kind of generic type things, and taking video camera pictures, and well, you could use either for that. So then it comes down to more, well, what have you used in the past? What do you like? What don't you like? What's your budget? Those kinds of things. So it really depends. But when you have something specific you want to do, a very specific task, you're best off focusing on how am I going to best accomplish that task through which piece of software, and that's going to tell you what to do from there.
So when we come back at the top of the next hour, we want to talk to parents. Parents, there's some things you need to be thinking about that go way beyond the actual computer that may help you decide which platform that you're going to use. And we're going to discuss that in the next hour, because as a parent of a 17-year-old and a 13-year-old, I get to deal with these things, and I'll explain to you how I go through these processes myself.
For the next couple months.
We're not really sure what's going on here, huh?
Hey, welcome back to the Computer Corner. We are sure what's going on here.
How much time do we have?
None. What do you mean, how much time? We got a minute and a half
okay.
or so.
All right. Real quick, if you're a parent, a couple things to consider when it comes to making the decision Mac versus PC. If your child always grows up with the Mac world and never ventures into the PC world, and this is obviously not realistic, but if they were to do that and then suddenly hit the area where they are trying to get employed, there may be some issues there. So anybody looking at, especially with older kids, looking at employability, if you're going to commit to the Mac OS, make sure you also have at least exposure to the Windows operating system, just from the standpoint of making sure that they're somewhat familiar with that when they go into the world of trying to get a job, and they're saying, well, you have to have proficiency in Windows and Windows Word for Windows and those kinds of things, may or may not come into play. Secondarily, if you've got younger children, the Macs tend to be really cool for that, but there's a very limited number of parental control programs. All the really good ones are written for Windows-based systems. So if a parental control software package is part of your decision-making, go out and find some good stuff before you make the decision to make sure all of the control mechanisms that you're going to want. The one that we like a lot for Windows is absolutely free. It's from K9. It's K9WebProtection.com. My understanding is that they will be coming out with a Mac version at some point, but that's that thing that you're always going to hear. Well, at some point we'll come out with a Mac version, so make sure you're not looking at software that's saying that now.
With Mac, generally variety is not the name of the game. You're going to have a lot more choices in the Windows world, so something to keep in mind. We're going to take a break for the news, get you caught up with what's going on in the state, in the city, around the country, and around the world. And when we come back, we got a couple lines open at 602-277-5827. It's the Computer Corner back after the news.
Bite, bite, bite. Chew, chew, chew. Bite what you chew with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. It is hour number two of the Mac versus PC discussion, which it's not the only reason you should call in. If you have any kind of question at all, Isaiah and Billy are going to be coming up here with specific questions about their computers. We're also here for that, especially all you Windows people, since Windows have more problems and more viruses and more, you know, more users.
Yeah, more of everything, actually. 602-277-5827 is the number. We got two lines open right now, so feel free to dial on in.
Later on in the show, of course, our Geek Speak of the Week, our Headwhack of the Week, and Chatty Boy shall be joining us for that. So let's go back to the phones here. Let's see if we can help Isaiah. Isaiah, welcome to the Computer Corner. How can we help you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I'm having an issue when I turn off my machine.
Yep.
I'm getting a DWWIN.exe error, and I've looked on some forums, and they say that's attributed to Dr. Watson.
Dr. Watson.
The old Dr. Watson lives on, and he's been around since pretty much the beginning of time when it comes to Windows.
Uh-huh. So I'm trying to figure out, you know, what the error is that's causing this to come up and how to get rid of it.
Did you, what it's basically, I mean, without seeing the exact error in the context that it's being presented, typically what that means is that error reporting function known as Dr. Watson, something has damaged it.
Uh-huh.
And so the repair of that would be to reinstall, reload those specific files or the associated DLLs. Unfortunately, it could be any number of things.
If you just want to get rid of the error, though, you just click OK.
Well,
and then it goes away.
It just flashes when I turn off the machine.
A Dr. Watson error comes up, flashes, and it just hangs there forever?
No, it just when I'm turning off the computer, when I'm turning it off, when I'm shutting it down.
How comfortable with the Windows registry are you?
Well, I've read some forums on it, and a lot of them said to just turn off the service.
Yes.
In the admin tools, but I didn't want to disable reporting at all, you know, altogether.
Well,
so I didn't know how safe that was.
Well, Dr. Watson is an older component that's kind of lingered on. It's not the full reporting, error reporting for Windows.
Okay.
It's not the only component.
I would tend to agree with you that just getting rid of the symptom is probably not a great idea. It's not a whole lot different than sticking your head in the sand and forgetting that the problem exists, and that's not the same as solving the problem. But it's going to be real tough for us to give you a whole lot of advice on how to solve the problem with just a real generic, quote-unquote, Dr. Watson error. Usually that error is going to have numbers, letters, refer to a file, a module, something that would help point somebody in the right direction. And what you might want to do is next time you get that error, try to write down what it is or record that in some way. Then when the computer is on and functional, go to Google, type in the exact error message you're getting in quotes so that it searches for exactly that term, and you'll be surprised what you might find out there.
Okay.
But just looking generically for Dr. Watson, that's like saying that, you know, I'm having a... I don't even know what I'm going to say.
It's like an engine light.
It's check engine light, exactly what that is.
Okay, cool. I have another question, if you guys don't mind.
Sure, go ahead.
I have had a NAS for quite a while, but the problem is that when I installed it, and every time I boot up, Windows doesn't recognize the drive, and I have to put the password in every time I try to get onto it. I've used the command prompt with the netuse function, and then I've also used the map network drive through my computer. But either of those, it won't save the password every time I log onto my machine.
So trying to connect to a drive on another machine?
No, I'm trying to connect to my network access storage. My NAS.
Oh, okay, you said NAS.
I thought you said Mac. And yeah. I was like, you lost me here.
Network attached storage is what you're trying. Yeah. Okay, so you've got a little box that's made by XYZ that has a hard drive in it and it has a network jack.
Correct.
And you want to attach to that.
And no, I'm already attached to it, and I can connect to it just fine. It's just whenever I boot up my machine, I have to log into it every time.
Right. There's two things you can do here. One, it's not remembering that password, and if there's a checkbox to have it remember that, you might want to check that little box so it'll store that away as part of your Windows profile.
Uh-huh.
But that may or may not work. The better way to solve this is that network attack storage should have some type of interface, and generally it's like a web interface that you can log into.
Yeah.
And you can set up what they call usernames, passwords, or some kind of security in there.
Okay.
You want to go and create a username that is exactly the same as the username you log into Windows with.
Yeah.
And if you log in with a password, you want to make sure that username you create on the network attack storage device has the same password as well. So if your username and password match, and if you have no password, that is a password in effect, you want to make sure those two things match. If you have that done, then every time you try to connect to it, it won't ask for that anymore because you already would have provided that.
All right, you two nerds, I don't want to hear this anymore. This is boring.
Fine, I'll just hang up on the dupe. Thanks, Isaiah.
Hopefully that helps there. Yeah, that's just... that's the problem in having a technical
show.
I'm
sure that helped hundreds of thousands of folks all across the valley with... Exactly, with going to sleep. See, we provide a sleeping aid, too.
Should we go back to the phones here?
I don't know.
Should
we?
Do we have time?
Of course we do.
You're the keeper of the clock here.
We do whatever we want over here. They just deal with it over there.
Then hit that button that says four.
Four.
Yeah.
One, two, three. It says talk four. Is that the one you want? Or news four?
I don't know.
Or contest four.
Four.
Okay, we'll do talk four.
Four with Walt, who's got a question about converting, is it old vinyl records to MP3?
Well, vinyl records, cassette tapes, anything. PC Magazine had a little blurb about that, and one of the things it said was, consider using an external audio capture device.
Yes.
Rather than your sound card. And
I don't know that I necessarily agree with that unless you're trying to get super high-end quality. You're just trying to get the stuff preserved, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Well, what you're going to need, there's a couple of different issues here. You can't, a tape deck has enough power coming out of it. You could actually put a cassette deck directly into the input of your sound card. And there's enough signal there that you could actually work with. But the best way to do it is if you've got a standard stereo system.
Yeah, I've done it with coming out of my stereo.
Right, you need
using the headphone.
Well, actually, output. I wouldn't recommend that. You'd want to go out of the tape out.
The tape out.
Yeah,
they might have something called a pre-out or a tape out or a pre-amp out or anything along those lines. It's a nice clean quality signal coming out. If you try to take, like, for example, an old record player or turntable, depending on which you call it, and try to plug that right into your PC, there's going to be a big problem there because the signal coming out of that turntable isn't going to match what the PC's hoping to see.
It's not strong enough. Plus, the connectors won't work either. You're going to have to go to Radio Shack or someplace and get something that converts those standard RCA right and left. You know, got the red and white jacks.
Right.
Those have to be converted down into the small little plug that goes into the input side.
Yeah.
So if you do that, then you get that cable. You actually plug that into the tape out of your stereo system.
Mm-hmm.
Then anything that you're playing, whatever the source material is, automatically goes out of that tape out all the time.
Okay.
And it's a set level, so you don't have to worry about the levels being too hot or too you know, if you go through the headphone jack and you got the volume too hot, it's going to be too much for the computer to be able to capture.
You'll do what's called overdrive the input.
Overdrive.
Then you'll need a piece of software that's going to allow you to capture that. We use here on the radio show, I'm recording your voice right now through a program called Music Match.
Okay, I've used that. I do have an older version that allows it to use the line in.
Yeah, well, I was going to say the current version you have to buy a license for, the free,
yeah,
free version.
I have my son gave me a legal copy.
Okay. Well, there's a free version, and then there's the version that has all the possibilities that you have to buy. So that's the one we use. I think it's $40 or something. If you've got it already, then you're good to go.
It's nice and simple and lets you do what you want. There's also a number of free applications and low-cost applications out there that you can get. One of our favorite websites to find just about anything you're looking for in the freeware or shareware world is a place called snapfiles.com. So if you didn't have something, that's where we'd suggest you start.
Does that give you everything you need?
Yeah, pretty much. And coming off a turntable,
you got to go through your stereo. That's why I said go through the tape out. So get that cable connected from the tape out to the input.
Oh, from the tape out,
right?
Okay.
Then you put your stereo on phono and play your record.
Okay.
And record it through the Music Match software.
Okay.
So whatever's coming out of the speakers is what's going to the computer.
If you want, you know what we could do is we could just send Chatty over there, and he'll come hang out for the afternoon and do all this for you.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends. He's Chatty Boy has a very discriminating ear.
I found a free piece of software, and I forget what it was, that I could check the levels coming out, too. But that wasn't in Music Match.
Well, you'll be able to do that just through the speakers on your computer as well. So just make sure you're not overdriving the signal. That's the big problem most people run into.
Good luck with that. Walt, we got to take a quick break, get some bills paid. When we come back, we've got more of your calls and questions, our Geek Speak of the Week, and our Head Whack of the Week. So
and
stick around
some
for
open lines.
Never be too rich or too geeky. Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner.
Yeah, buddy.
It's that time in the show when we bring a little knowledge your way by explaining something in our vernacular.
A little some?
Something or something. Do you have the world-famous opening? Yes.
Of course I do, Ken.
That means it's time for our Head Whack of the Week and our Geek Speak of the Week, where Chatty Boy explains some stuff for y'all to learn, get some more knowledge about computers.
He's going to learn ya.
That's correct. We're learning ya.
Good day, gentlemen.
Good day to you, sir.
Now, this week's Geek Speak of the Week actually came from a listener who wrote in and gave it to me, and I'm sorry, I forgot to give him a plug. I forgot his name. But anyway...
Great work there, Chad.
You know who you are, though.
Right.
That's all that matters.
This week's Geek Speak of the Week is Vishing with a V.
It was
Vishing.
Brent Walser. Thank you, Brent.
Thanks, Brent.
I was just going to take credit for that. You big jerk.
Vishing is the practice of leveraging voice over internet protocol technology, also known as VoIP, to trick private personal and financial information from the public for the purpose of financial reward. The term is a combination of voice and phishing, and vishing exploits the public's trust in landline telephone services. Most people, they've become very wary of anything that comes through their email and things like that, but they still have a sort of inherent trust of stuff that they get through the phone.
Help me understand how this works and why voice over IP technology has anything to do with it. Why not just use the regular phone?
Because they can track back real easily if it's a regular phone. And with vishing,
precisely.
If you use the internet to make the call, it's much tougher to figure out who made the call.
So if I was the good guy and you were the bad guy,
mm-hmm.
How might that phone call go? Might it be that you
well,
would call
it would be an, it would be an automated call.
Bring, bring.
And you'd get an automated call that would basically say that there's some kind of discrepancy with one of your bank accounts or something, and to call another number back, and you'd get a number to call.
Okay.
And most people are going to call that number without even considering that that this might be something malicious.
Sure, and the person answering is going to say, bank of whatever your bank is, to make it sound official.
I'm going to need your account number. And,
And your PIN number.
Right.
And your Social Security number.
What's your full address? Can you confirm for me your mother's maiden name?
Yes.
Okay. Your full legal name.
Okay, it's really you. Thanks for calling.
Actually, we've just misreported. There's no problem with your account, but thanks for your call.
Yes.
There's no concern. In fact, what you might want to do is if you have any kind of credit watch services and things, deactivate those.
Sure.
Or you may get some notices over the next couple of days. Perfectly normal. Don't worry about that.
So, yeah. Watch
we could
out.
Be good at this.
Watch out for vishing scams, V-I-S-H-I-N-G. How about our head whack of the week?
This week's head whack of the week is Internet Explorer image resizing.
Oh yeah.
If you've ever looked at an image online and it's a really large high resolution image, you've noticed that IE will automatically shrink it down to fit inside your browser.
Hate it.
Yeah. And sometimes I want to see it in all its high resolution glory.
We know why for you, Chad.
Okay. Anyway,
single guy syndrome, huh?
So this is this week's head whack of the week tells you how to disable that function so that you can see the full picture.
Wait a minute, you can turn that off?
Oh, yeah.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
And if someone is either not a newsletter subscriber or has tried to subscribe and their ISP has decided that nothing that that has been sent to more than five people will be allowed through their system, they're spamming or they're filtering our newsletter out, how would they get the information on this head whack?
Well, if you're not a subscriber, go to datadoctors.com, scroll to the bottom, put your email address in, and hit subscribe, and hopefully you'll start receiving it. If not, go to datadoctors.com, click on the help section.
Free help section.
Free help section.
How much does that help cost?
Free!
Right, the free help section.
$0. And there's a link to our newsletter archives. You can read all the newsletters or the last 10 newsletters online without getting anything in your inbox.
And just because this is free, this is one of those situations in life where you get more than you pay for.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
And you can also see that Dell's laptops keep blowing up in this week's newsletter.
Yep.
According to our fine editor, Chad.
The second one in about a month.
Yeah.
It's some kind of battery issue, and apparently Dell's known about this for a few years and hasn't done anything about it.
Well,
so
if there's only two fires, what's the big deal?
Yeah, I mean, it just burned down a building.
That whole laptop thing now, you know, if you have a Dell computer that you literally use on your lap, should you?
Well, you know the funny thing, this most recent issue, the laptop wasn't even turned on.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
It's more gooder.
It was in sleep mode. Yeah. I've spontaneously burst into flames while sleeping before, so it's not anything real unusual.
Dreams don't count.
Oh.
Thank you, sir. That's our head whack of the week and our Geek Speak of the Week.
Don't call him sir. You only encourage him.
No. He is the sir. Hey, let's go back to the phones. Or no, we got a minute. Tweezer?
Teaser? Talk to Brent, if I can find Brent. There's Brent, about vishing with the V.
You got something to Brent, you're the Brent that emailed us about vishing.
Yeah, the I guess the one key caveat that was left out of there was with these, like Asterisk Server, pardon me, I'm out of breath. On Asterisk Server, you can actually go in there and manipulate your caller ID to make it show Bank of America.
Even worser.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, worse. There you are. You actually think you're getting a phone call from a reputable business.
So now you can't even trust your caller ID.
No longer.
That's it. We're going to unplug, folks.
Leave it to Chad to leave something important out like that. Thanks, Brent.
Yeah, that's a biggie.
Hey, I appreciate the tip. Appreciate the Geek Speak and appreciate you calling in. It's perfect. So watch for that vishing scam now. So now what you have to do is when you get a call and you think it's the bank and it shows the caller ID is the bank, you need to
say, are you the bank?
You're going to say, okay, I'll have to call you back.
Are you really the bank?
So if somebody tries to get you information and say, well, tell me your extension, I'll call you back, then maybe engage them. But, man, it's getting hard to live in this world, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just stop. More after we come back from this quick break.
The Army National Guard.
I'm Lisa Mendez.
Dingoes ate my baby.
Here's Ken Colburn and Brandon Disney.
Did he just say dingoes ate my baby?
I don't think he said it like that, though.
Oh.
We started the show off having a little discussion about Mac versus PCs, and you're welcome to chime in. We actually have a couple of lines open, which is very unusual. 602-277-5827, or you can join us online to put your 2 cents in, whether you're a Mac person, a PC person, or both. Got a little of everything out there.
During the break, we were actually discussing something that was kind of interesting. And if you go to datadoctors.com, click on the radio show section, you'll see a little picture there that really does a pretty good job of summing up the whole Mac PC thing, because what you'll see there is two little pocket knives, for lack of a better term, and one has a little Mac logo on it and one will have a little Windows logo on it. And the one with the Mac logo is nice and elegant and slim and small and looks pretty cool, but it pretty much only has one blade on it. And the Windows one has 50,000 different blades. It's kind of bulky and is a little bit gaudy, but it definitely has all kinds of things. And so some people who want to do just basic tasks and functions or certain specific tasks and functions, they'll say, well, you know, your Mac or my Mac is way better than your PC. And for those couple of functions, it might be because it's more elegant. There's less chance for conflict.
Are you accusing the Mac of being a beige toaster?
I never said such a thing. Perhaps an Etch a Sketch on a grapefruit, but a beige toaster, it's not, Ken.
Is this the guy who wrecked a buffet?
So this cool little picture, it kind of is a really good kind of idea of really what we're talking about, which is you have a lot more variety and a lot more tools in the Windows world to get things done.
You're just trying to light up the phones here, aren't you?
Well, it's kind of fun to see that happen, too.
All right. Well, let's move on here and let's answer some more questions.
We were talking to, or I was talking to Billy off the air because he called up with what looked to be like a
way
something
too technical and specific, and yeah.
Yeah, he had an error when he was trying to boot up his laptop computer, and it's a Sony Vio, and it was saying NTOS kernel error. A file was missing or corrupt, and pretty much not a whole lot else, and the thing won't even boot up to Windows anymore.
Yeah.
And so he was trying to figure out, well, what does this mean? Can you give me some kind of ballpark? What's it going to cost to fix? Because, you know, you can buy a new computer for pretty cheap these days, and it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense to put money into this, and that's why I thought, you know, now we're getting into the kind of conversation that really makes sense for on the air, because you're saying something that a lot of people are thinking. Should I put money into repairing this PC that I have?
And how old is this laptop?
It's a laptop, yeah.
How old is it?
A couple of years.
A couple of years, and what did you pay for it when you bought it?
About $1,500, I think.
Okay, and what do you think a replacement unit might cost?
Probably about $600 or $800 from what I see.
Well, $600 to $800 will get you a real basic laptop with a battery that'll last about 20 minutes, and so realistically, by the time you get everything you need on a $600 or $800 laptop, you're probably back up to $1,000.
Okay.
Okay. So clearly, you can repair just about anything, with the exception of, you know, with a laptop. If you like dropped it and cracked the screen or something, that usually becomes something where it just makes no sense at all. But if your operating system is corrupted and it just needs to be reloaded, which is a possibility. You don't have any hardware issues, you just have software issues. It's going to be significantly cheaper to repair that and reload everything on that than it is to buy a new one.
And if you have hardware problems, most likely it would be related to the hard drive. So even replacing the hard drive and reloading things would still be significantly less than buying a new one, even if you found one in that $600, $700 range that you were talking about. And then the other thing you got to consider when you start to think this way, because you don't get lured by the $299 PC you see advertised on TV.
Impossible.
First of all, go to the website. Next time you see that TV commercial, I want you to stop what you're doing. Run to your computer. Don't walk. Run to your computer. And try to go find that PC. And you know the company I'm talking about. Go to their website and pay close attention to, usually they have a whatever.com/TV or /special offer or /something. Go to that specific website. Try to find the PC that they're advertising. Then try to configure it the way you would want to actually have it. Be very careful to pay close attention to the freebies that they toss in, because most of the freebies come not packaged with things you need. Like, for example, the free printers that they try to give you don't come with ink. And the ink cartridges, you can only buy from them.
Or the cable that you need to be able to connect it. So.
And that doesn't include any shipping. And so oftentimes what we found, like that free printer is generally about an $83 printer by the time it gets to your doorstep. That's not a deal.
Yeah, be careful, because that is the point of marketing, is to get you to react, and then, of course, you find out the story's a little different. Hang tight there, Billy. We'll talk to you off the air. We're going to go to break here. It's Ken and Brandon and Chad back right after this.
D-backs and Astros meet this afternoon in Game 2 of the Weekend Series. Join us in the dugout at 3:30 and stay for first pitch just 30 minutes later. The D-backs at the Astros on News Radio 620 KTAR, home of Diamondbacks baseball.
Education, entertainment, it's edutainment with the Data Doctors on News Radio 620 KTAR.
And welcome back to the Computer Corner. We're talking Mac versus PCs, talking about new computers, old computers. We're talking to Roger right now about Windows Outlook Express on line one there, Mr. Brandon.
There, I found it.
Yes,
sir. I'm so good at this.
Excuse me?
I'm sorry. I'm just talking things that don't matter at all.
He's pushing buttons, and he's proud of
it. You guys are so funny. You got me on the floor here. I can't think straight. I spoke to one of you gentlemen at the end of the show last week, and you told me how to get into my Windows folder on my slave hard drive, and somehow I dropped the ball, and I didn't write down the right information because I couldn't record it. So now I got the recorder going. If you could tell me how to star dot.
If we had done it on the air, I was going to say we have the solution for you right now, which is we have the audio archives. No. You can go back in time.
But you talked to him after the show, yes, or last
week.
Basically, you're looking for. I remember over here in the conversation, he was trying to find his index or his inbox.
Oh yeah. I remember Roger now. Okay, it was me who talked to you, but this is going to be really boring stuff for the rest of the planet.
Okay.
So tell you what we can do.
Okay.
I'll make you a deal.
Sure.
But we have to be real quiet because this is a deal just for Roger only.
No.
I'm going to toss you back on hold, and we're going to have you hang out for just a few minutes. And when we come to the next break, I'll get on and give you the step-by-steps what you're going to need to look for.
Thank you.
That's hot. That is hot. Nicole.
Speaking of hot, then let's see if we can help Tracy. Tracy's got a hot laptop. Right, Tracy?
Yeah, I thought the concept was you could put them in your lap and actually use them, but you weren't intended to get burnt.
Well, you know, it depends on how wimpy you are.
I think that the shift from calling them laptops to notebook computers is specifically because of this problem.
Well, here's what occurred. When I bought it, it was working great.
Yes.
And about a year ago, that really large virus that came out of Europe, I thought I had gotten into it. So I ran it up to your office up north Scottsdale. And they looked at it. They'd never even heard of the virus, and so they were starting to work on it. They didn't think that there was anything in it, but they didn't like how the computer was running, so they tried to improve that. That's when the heat has now occurred, and it runs so hot it actually shuts itself down a lot.
I don't know
what to do now or why we would be in this position.
Let me ask you something. Have you tried? It's either a battery issue or the processor is running overtime. The only way we're going to be able to separate those two is if you were to take and plug it into the wall but not use the battery, literally remove the battery from the unit.
Okay.
And use it to see if you're still getting that. If it's still happening, then it could just be a simple matter of modifying your power saving processes that are in there that tell the computer to shut down when the thing's idle.
What we can do is what somebody can do is go in there and just modify and say when it's running on battery power, don't give it full strength.
Okay.
Unless it absolutely needs it, that kind of thing.
Or even so when it's sitting, even if you're using it with the AC, if it's basically been, if all of the power saving modules have been kind of turned down so that it operates more consistently where you're not having to constantly wake it up all the time, then...
I don't know. Right now, this is like serious bad geek speak for me. Should I just take it back up to your guys and have them look at it to
absolutely.
Explain to them what the problem is?
Are you, you know what, I got a better idea. Are you connected to the internet?
At the moment, I'm not.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, because we got a little remote tool, I could actually reach in across the internet and just check those settings real quickly for you, because it's a possibility that it's that. But try that first test. Try it without the battery to see if the heat maintains.
Okay.
Because that'll help us a lot on which direction to go. But yeah, either way, if you want to take it back up to the store, they can certainly help you as well.
Okay, thanks so much.
You betcha, Tracy. Hot laptops!
Get them while they're hot!
I got a Sony Vaio, too, that I had to get rid of it.
Hot and spicy. Hot and spicy laptops and computers right here on the Computer Corner.
It hurted me, but we got to go to break.
We're going to go to break. When we come back, we're going to finish up, wrap up, and make sure we remind you of all the important things. So stick around for that. It's the Computer Corner back after this.
My computer likes spam and cookies and peanut butter and duct tape and high-grade plastics and those cute little banana peppers that look like peanuts.
And if you're new to the Computer Corner, where you been?
Shame on you.
There's about 8-9 years worth of archives now and newsletters and all kinds of stuff on our website. If you like anything about what you hear or heard or have heard, you want more information, it's all free at our website, datadoctors.com. Click on the radio show section if you'd like to see or hear previous shows, see previous resources.
And if you don't like what you've heard,
yeah,
go there too.
Yeah.
And then fill out the little, I have a suggestion for you.
Yeah.
And then give us your suggestion. We probably won't listen, but you can, you know, give it anyway.
Give it lip service.
We'll read it.
Be
we
gentle.
Do read it.
If you are having a specific problem, you might want to go to our free help section. That is a combined effort between us and a bunch of the technology students in and around the country that are assisting us. You got questions. They want experience. We thought, what a great way for students to gain experience about helping people with their computer problems in a non-threatening way. You're not paying them. They're not, you know, if they're not perfect in their delivery of information, yeah, you know, it's just a resource.
Good thing you didn't pay in that case.
Something like that.
But generally, it's pretty good stuff you get there. And what's more important is it's been going on for, what, 7 years or so?
Something crazy.
And so there are thousands, literally thousands and thousands of questions and answers that you can search. And so if you've got a problem, rather than go ask your question, we try to encourage people, go search our database, because there's an excellent chance it's already been answered 3, 4, and 5 times, because we tend to get the same questions over and over.
And I'll give you a hint on our search engine, because we're not Google. We don't have really good search stuff, and because this is a dynamic website, keep the search phrases to a couple of words.
Think keywords.
Think in keywords instead of don't ask questions like you're asking a person, because that's not the kind of search engine that it is on our site.
And we don't have a live dude at the other end that will be answering those.
Now, let me give you a tip on how you can search the Data Doctors website in a more robust way. This is the Google Tip of the Week from Ken.
Is this an on-the-fly segment here?
Did you know?
No.
You can tell Google to search a website and search only that website for a particular question or thing that you're looking for. So, for instance, if you wanted to say modem problems, you could type in modem problems into Google and then put in the word site, S-I-T-E, a colon, and then put in datadoctors.com. And it tells Google to only bring back results that it's already indexed on the Data Doctors website.
It's not quite the same as searching our site, because it only will bring back results that it's indexed, meaning things that it already knows about. So anything that's relatively new it won't have, and anything that it hasn't indexed for whatever reason.
But more importantly, switch from our free help site to, let's say, the behemoth that is Microsoft.com, that you try to use the Microsoft search engine to find something, especially if you're having a problem. Try this next time. Go to Google. Type what you would normally type at the Microsoft website into Google, and then put in site, colon, Microsoft.com. And that'll bring back Google's more kind of... I like the results that come from Google, even when I'm searching Microsoft's website, better than I do the Microsoft search engine.
Well, that's why they're Google, and they're good at what they do, which is searching. And Microsoft, that's not their specialty, so don't be too surprised there.
But isn't that a great tip? That's for all of y'all.
I didn't think it was that great, because I already knew it.
Yeah, but... Some of them people out there.
A lot of people probably thought it was a great tip.
And I don't mean to take content away from your fine newsletter every week.
No, I enjoyed that. That was a good tip.
That was a good tip. Huh?
Did you really enjoy it, like thoroughly?
Mm-hmm.
We also got an email from Steve who said, I seem to have contracted a virus on my computer. It begins with a pop-up window that reads, "Your computer is infected. Critical system error." When you click on the window, it takes you, oddly enough, to a website that wants to sell you virus software.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Danger alert here. When anything comes up and scares you into thinking you're infected with something, then takes you to a website trying to sell you the fix to that scare.
Yeah. That's why adware is so bad. This particular one, he's already identified it. It's SpyX. SpyX claims to be a program that will get rid of spyware and adware. And the way they do it is they nefariously, maliciously download themselves this little thing saying you've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And you may well have a problem. It may be scanning your site or your computer and telling you, yes, you do have adware and spyware. And it says, if you want to get rid of it, click here. And of course, then to get rid of what you just found, you have to buy this program.
So it axes you to buy a program.
It spy axes you.
Right.
Yeah.
And then if you believe it and you axe it, well, how much that program cost?
Yeah. Then they're going to axe you to pay. And,
right.
And then they'll ask the spyware to leave your computer.
So our advice here is take the axe to SpyX and don't fall for the bait.
Unfortunately, SpyX knows how to sidestep a lot of the traditional spyware and adware programs, which is why it's so nasty. So those of you that are fairly technical, if you type in SpyX space removal, or in your case, Steve, if you are, you can type in SpyX space removal, and there are very specific technical directions on how to manually remove this nasty little yucky adware program.
Not for beginners. If you have this and you have an infestation of SpyX, or you fell for this and you're recognizing some of the things we're saying and you already bought this thing, the removal is not going to be something quick, easy, and simple. It's not a two-step process, double-click here, hold a dead chicken over your head, nothing like that. It's fairly involved.
In fact, the instructions that I saw required you to download three different programs. That's how bad it is.
Not good.
No. So, be careful where you go on the internet. Be careful what you install. Be careful what you click on. Be careful who you talk to when they call, now that we have vishing out there, where that caller ID says, hey, it's the bank, when in fact, it's not the bank, if you can believe that. You can't believe it is the point, I guess, huh?
Yeah, it's not that hard to do. I've been playing with some VoIP stuff lately, and it's really not that hard for somebody who wants to spend a little time and very little money to put together a very sophisticated system that can do auto-dialing, change the caller ID, call you for free, and make it so you can't trace it back. Not hard at all.
And if you recall, we've talked about this a lot, when you get an email that looks like it came from your friend, it says, it's from them, isn't it from Steve?
Of course it is.
No, they can spoof that, and so now they can spoof the phone so that your caller ID makes it look like it's something that it's not. So watch out for more news on vishing scams. Roger, Brian, everyone else that's called in, just hang tight. We're going to get you off the air. That way you don't have to deal with the fact that we're done with time, I guess, here, huh?
Absolutely. If you miss any part of the show, you can grab it all at datadoctors.com. And don't forget, when it comes to your computer, your Mac, or your PC,
if you don't need it,
don't install it.
See y'all next week.
Who you gonna call? Call Power!